actually, you've already heard the message. What a blessing. What a wonderful Holy Spirit and God we have. This was an unusual time of sharing, but I want to let you know how much it meant to me in what God was showing me, what we're going to hear today. I think I would have all your agreement that the Christmas story is very familiar to all of us, right? And every year we hear it, and it's beautiful story, and it's every word that God puts down is true. It's truth. But as I was preparing the message, the Holy Spirit said, "Do you know who you're ministering to?" I said, "Who? I know you. I love you guys very much. But you know their identity, Byron? They're warriors. You are a pastor of warriors." And what a beautiful thing we heard in the testimonies this morning. But then he said, "Now I'm going to lead you. I'm going to lead you through this very well-known versed story, Christmas. And I'm going to show you and show the warriors the tools that they use to be warriors." That's like taking the surface and looking deeper. I'm sure all of us have that experience in our own lives. At any given point in our life, we maybe highlight it in our Bible, or maybe we kind of hit it down in our heart where we read a verse, and for that moment, that verse became everything. And then years later, you might look at that same verse and wonder why. So, Father God, give me your Holy Spirit to peel away from the Christmas story encouragement for your warriors. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And by the way, you know, it's before I get into this, last Sunday I shared Holy Spirit showing me for our 2026. God working in healing, provision, and relationships. I went home, and usually after a Sunday, I'll take a nap, and I'll lay down. And I love taking naps because a lot of times in those naps, Holy Spirit visits me. And he said, "Yes, Byron, you heard what I said. You're going to be working in 2026 in provision, health, in relationships. What you said and what you heard was correct, because Jesus actually shared with us where the enemy attacks. He comes to steal finances. He comes to kill health. He comes to destroy relationships." So the word I got last Sunday was just an affirmation and said a little different way what Jesus told us. He comes to steal, to kill, destroy. But I have come to give you life, victory over all of it in Jesus' name. Now let's get into the Christmas story viewed from a point of view feeding the warriors in this church. And I skipped around because, and I'm glad because you guys were so vocal this morning, it will get through this. An angel of the went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Well, a warrior really needs to know that you are favored, and it doesn't depend on who you are, but who he is. So a warrior needs to know through every life's difficulty that you can stand above it because you have the favor of God on your life. Then Mary, greatly troubled with his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be, the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God and will conceive and give birth to a son, and she'll call him Jesus." Key to a warrior, what's underneath all this story is, do not be afraid. A warrior cannot afford to have fear consume them. That's a warrior. That's who you are. When you come up to the issues of life and fear tries to come in, and you can say, no, I'm firm in my relationship with God. I will not allow fear to consume me. That's a warrior. That's a warrior. "How can this be," Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin?" That question may come up, and maybe we'd phrase it differently, but can you really do this? God, are you really that tuned into me can you really do this? A warrior doesn't doubt anything about his relationship with God. You're a warrior, no doubt. No second guessing what God will do. Can he? Yes, he will. And we're going to learn more about that as we get through this message. Then the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you with the power of the Most High and overshadow you. Who the Holy One is to be born will be called a Son of God. Even Elizabeth, after relatives and going having a child at an old age, she who was said to be unable to conceive in the sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." That's a warrior. That's who you are. When doubt comes and when you hear the promises of God in your life, that they will come fire in your life. That you will say, and acknowledge nothing God has ever said will ever fail. That's what a warrior is. That's what a warrior is. "I'm the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your words be fulfilled." And the angel left her. A warrior connects in such a beautiful way with God and his word that you fully accept it. You guys already gave this sermon already with your testimonies, man. You already gave it. So I'm just sitting here trying to reaffirm it, everything else. But a warrior takes what he knows of God and says, "I'll accept that for me. I'll fully accept that for me, whatever you have." That's a warrior. Then the Christmas story jumps on. We won't go into detail. Zechariah and Elizabeth couldn't have a baby. They have a baby. He says the name is John, and there is questions, all this kind of thing going on. But in that story, that Mary goes to her cousin Elizabeth. And as she approaches Elizabeth, Elizabeth said, "Blessed is she who believes in the Lord will fulfill his promise to her." And she said, "Even the child within me leaped for joy when Mary came in connection with her." So what's that have to do with a warrior? Elizabeth, a warrior, like we're a warrior, don't get yourself consumed with yourself that you lose the fact of encouraging somebody else. she was going through her thing and her promises from God. But when she saw Mary, her words were filled with encouragement. A warrior encourages others. And you don't think so much about yourself that you forget the people around you. And you encourage them. That's a warrior. That's who you guys are. You guys are. I don't know. You know, this week, you know, as I mentioned last week, the doctors, I was waiting for the report and had to go through a CT scan and all that stuff. And I got so many messages from you guys. And even this morning, so how did it go? What did I got? You know what? You guys are warriors, man. And you guys are full of encouragement and caring. And I had to share. So publicly, I'm fine. The doctor said, you know, part of what's going on with you, you were born with it. Your artery kind of narrows a little bit and then it gets wider. And that can be susceptible of collecting calcium deposits and that. But there's no change. In fact, I thought we were going to have to look at you every year, not every 6 months. No, we're going to wait a year. So just leave here knowing you're okay, brother. So, but your concerns, man, you are warriors. You are warriors in the kingdom. And I experienced that too. So after Mary gets all this information, it's called the Song of Mary. And even today, songwriters driven by the Holy Spirit say the Holy Spirit gives them a thought about who God is and they create a song and we sing them, right? Well, Mary had a song. With all this going on in her life, Mary said, and really defines a warrior in her song. We might go through this year after year to look at it, and I want you and me to see the warrior in it. My soul glorifies. The warrior thinks about how he can represent Jesus. And my spirit rejoices in my Savior. A warrior is not overcome by the things of the world, but an overcomer of the things of the world. He has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. The warrior doesn't look for people in the accolades of men, but of the promises of God. And he walks humbly with his God. It's a warrior. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. The warrior reminds himself how God has taken care of him in the past. His mercies extend to those who fear him. A warrior knows that God knows who you are, knows your mistakes, knows your messes, and knows that he'll pick you up and he has mercy on you. He has performed mighty deeds with his arms. Yeah. Like some of you said, I can't remember who said what, but sometimes you say you want that big thing and you think, wow, God's going to do that explosive thing. But God does exactly and answers your needs in a special way. He scatters those who are proud. You know what? There are proud people. And there's people that seem to be what they call a personality, really strong. And you need to see God's heart. You need to hear from God about this. Because some of these proud people are really weak people. And they're just trying to put a thing out there to make you think that they are better than you. But they're not. They're weak, actually. And God says, I'll scatter the proud to their innermost thoughts. He has brought down the rulers from their thrones and lifted up the humble. You know, a warrior has confidence no matter what's going on in the world scene, that they're safe. He will fill the hungry with good things. The warrior, even, you guys are warriors, even though maybe financially things could get tough, but you actually believe that God will provide for you. And has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful. The warrior steps out of their defeats in life and walks into victory, because they know the God that loves them and that's merciful to them. Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he had promised his ancestors. So Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and returned home. Then the story in the same chapter switches over to Zechariah, and he had a song. And we're not going to go through the whole song. I'm just going to take a piece out of it, where Mary had a song that really describes us as warriors. Zechariah made a song too. He said, "Show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant." God doesn't forget his promises. And the warrior will know that God won't forsake his promises to us. His oath he swore to his fathers Abraham to rescue us from the land of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear. Conflict may come, but God tells the warrior that reconciliation will come also. The holiness and righteousness before him in our days. Then the interesting thing, we'll look at this a little later in the message, but then here's a family has a baby with a promise. And that he'd be a great prophet. Wow, what a responsibility to raise that baby up. And as they saw John going from a baby to a toddler to an infant to a teenager to and knowing that John was given to them to raise, and knowing that he had a high assignment in his life, that as a witness, as the child grew, and they saw this in their son John, became strong in spirit. And he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly in Israel. You know, a warrior may be put on the shelf for a while. Nothing really happening. The parents said, "Well, actually, we saw this guy growing in spirit," and then he kind of went off into the wilderness and not seen by many until the time was right. And he came out a great warrior for the kingdom. What a job he had, prepare the way for the Messiah. He was a warrior. Then it shifts in chapter 2 to the shepherds. You know what? shepherds weren't in the area of the well-educated, the people full of knowledge in the land that led the people. They were just good at leading sheep. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy to their to all the people." They appeared suddenly, and they sang rejoicing. And the angel said, "Now, don't be afraid about this. Don't be afraid about this, because I've chosen you shepherds, not extremely well known in the land, to actually be the first to come and see the Messiah and to see Jesus." And you know what? Jesus is good news. Jesus is great joy. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. He's good news because he came and forgave us and loved us and brought us into a relationship with the Father, and he did something for us that we could never do for ourselves. And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those who his favor rests." And now let's repeat a couple of times this favor word. God's favor. Hey guys, warriors don't have to earn the favor. God loves to favor his people, the ones who know him, the ones who know him. And then it skips to all these events are happening. All this stuff is happening. And then it finally says, "And Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." Now let's back it up. God says, "What I say to you, I'll do." And now they're saying like, "Wow, I got a revelation of that. I can trust what he said. Now, just as they said, it happened." And that was that was so much fun to hear all these testimonies this morning. There, I went to God and he did it, and he did it, and he did it, and he did it. And he'll never stop doing it. He'll never stop doing it. And now we jump to a little child, a little boy. As they were ordered to take him to Jerusalem and dedicate Jesus to the Lord. And now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devoted. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. He had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what was the custom and the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praising God. Again, a warrior. You know, it says the Holy Spirit, we said, you won't die until you see God's Messiah. Now he was old and maybe wondering, when's this gonna happen? I'm not, you know, I don't know how many more years I got left. And all of a sudden, Mary and Joseph show up with the child Jesus, happened to be right where he was standing. And it doesn't say that, but I think, I really believe what this is saying, this guy Simeon, the warrior believing the promises, said, oh, give me that child. It's got to be him. And they willingly gave the child into his arms. And then he said, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. See, even now, faith is the evidence of things not seen. He was told that before he dies, he will see the Messiah. He recognized the Messiah when Joseph and Mary came holding him and said, let me have him. I want him. Holding his arms. And he said, and again, a warrior believes the promises of God. Even in the waiting, even though it may take time to happen. For my eyes have seen my salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all the nations, the light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of the people Israel. You know, for thousands of years now, who has come to know Messiah Jesus? The Gentiles. But there's a shift happening. I'm told that many, many Jewish people now are coming to know Jesus as Messiah. So he prophesied, he says, this is going to be huge for Gentiles, but the Jews will not be forgotten. Now, here we go. About Jesus growing up and parents seeing this little baby become a toddler, become a child, become a teenager, become a young adult. They're looking at this. The child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Just like similar to what John's parents saw, and the child grew and became strong in the spirit. You know what? That tells me that I need to be nurturing this relationship with God as a warrior and to continue to say, I'm going to become stronger and stronger and stronger. When the things of life come to my life, whether it's financial, whether it's health, whether it's relationships, that my God, knowing all my weaknesses, will reveal his strength in me. John, Jesus, they both, as they grew older, grew stronger, not weaker. Now, I have an amazing brother-in-law over here. His name is Peter. I have a brother named Peter. I have a brother-in-law named Peter. And he's in for the holidays. And he says some things to me. He said some things, and he said, man, I wish you had made a sermon about certain things. And Peter loved Jesus with all his heart, and it's amazing to have him in our house for the time that he is. It's just, I don't know what we would do if he didn't come for the holidays. But then Peter, probably not even knowing it, is he's voicing out something to me that God wants me to capture. And a lot of times we'll say things to people and encourage people and not really knowing the fullness of this. All right? We're talking about warriors, right? We just went through the Christmas story and saw the fuel who we are, warriors for the kingdom, right? Right? So Peter mentioned something to me, but let's now take a piece out of history. Let's just take, as we close here, take a piece out of history. There was a young man that really America wasn't that much involved, except people volunteered to fight in World War I. And they volunteered for it. They went across to Europe, and this is a terrible war, World War I. But he had a flying skill. He had a flying skill, and his name was Edward, but he was more or less known as Eddie. And Eddie Rickenbacker flew planes, and he became an ace pilot during World War I. And as far as known, he shot down 26 enemy planes and never had injury to his own self. He was a warrior. Now, this is a human warrior in battle. But people didn't always know later what was burning in the heart of Eddie, who he really was. He was not just a pilot and an ace that took out 26 airplanes and was called an ace pilot, but the war ended. He went home and settled down, and all of a sudden, World War II broke out. And Eddie said, "You know, I feel like I need to fight for America." So Eddie tried to go and re-enlist. You know what they told him? "You're too old. And you don't have enough education because you want to fly in the military." So they rejected him. But Eddie didn't give up. Eddie didn't give up. He kept trying and trying and trying. And finally, he got what he wanted. He entered into the service of our nation to fight in World War II. When he realized, reenlisted as a special envoy for President Roosevelt, recruiting and inspiring pilots. This might give us a little clue and find out more about Eddie, but he was an encourager. He lifted up the pilots that had a fight in this terrible World War II, and he encouraged him, and he said, "You know, I was the ace pilot number one. You can do it. You can make it." And he was an encourager. And President Roosevelt saw that, and so he recruited him to inspire the pilots. World War II in the Pacific, he found himself in a B-17 bomber. And as they were flying across the vast waters of the Pacific Ocean, the navigator lost direction, which caused that B-17 to run out of fuel. And the B-17 started tumbling down. And the pilot, very skilled, made a crash landing in the Pacific Ocean, and they all survived the crash and got into their little raft, waiting to be found. Make sure I get my pages right here. So 24 days, him and seven crew members survived on a rubber raft. And what's behind this thing of what's in this man, Eddie, that made a difference in their lives? Because he said something, and we'll get to that, but imagine you in a little raft and maybe financial trouble around you, maybe health issues, maybe broken relationships. Maybe all these things could be overwhelming you, and you say, will I be found? Will I get out of this? Will I get out of this? Imagine them in that raft. It goes 3 days, 4 days, and we'll get a little bit into that. It becomes a week, becomes 2 weeks, becomes 3 weeks. No one's finding us. Maybe there's times in our life where we think, God, where is your voice in my life while I'm floating in this place of just uncertainty? Well, after 3 days, they ran out of the little rations they took from the plane. Now they were facing starvation. The 3 days became 8 days. Eighth day, Eddie said something I'll share in a bit. But I'll share it now. Eddie looked at the guys in the little raft with him and said, you can't afford to give up because someone else is counting on you to hold it together. And those words became so well known. And isn't that the warrior spirit in a Christian? You know, if you're here to help and encourage somebody else so they can carry on. After he said that on the eighth day, weakened by no food and the Pacific Ocean waves and just bobbling in there, with the fear that maybe no one will ever find him. Eddie fell asleep. Here's where we find out more about Eddie. He had a faith in his God. He believed what he said, that when he said, it's no time to give up. It's no kind, because someone else is counting on you to hold it together. He fell asleep. While he was sleeping, here's out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, all of a sudden a gull appears, comes flying down, and he rests on Eddie's head and woke him up, and he grabbed it. He grabbed it, and now they had more food for survival. And then after they ate them, they said, we'll use every part of this gift from God. So they made hooks from his bones. And they used that to fish, and they caught fish. The fish were attracted to that fed them, because they were out at sea for 24 days. Days waiting to be found. The birds saved and encouraged them spiritually, physically, and emotionally. Eddie, as an older man, never forgot what happened. You know, the enemy is going to try to steal from us all the victories and just try to pound us with challenge. But he never forgot. He never forgot the incident of just falling asleep and God providing food from heaven. He never forgot it. He moved to Florida, And every Friday evening, about sunset, he would carry a bucket filled with shrimp out to the pier to feed the gulls. This was to remember one bird, one day, long ago, that gave himself as a sacrifice so that he and seven other men could live. 2,000 years ago, Jesus did that for us. And I say, in this church, we want communion to be always become dynamic, not routine. Not to forget, just as Eddie never wanted to forget how God provided for him in the middle of the Pacific for 24 days. He wanted to spend the rest of his life every Friday and feeding the gulls and remembering. And isn't that what we do every Sunday? We take the bread and the wine and we remember what a wonderful God he is, because he will strengthen and encourage the warriors in this church. One night before he died, Jesus and the disciples observed the Passover together, which we do to this day. Just as Captain Reckenbacher had a tradition of remembering the significant event in his life, our Lord also has given us a tradition of communion to remember us, the historical events that changed the world and our lives forever. In closing, warriors, you're not too young to be a warrior. Mary was just a teenager. Maybe her husband, Joseph, a little older, and they took what they had and they did it. And they believed that God would keep every promise he makes and never fail. You're a warrior. One time, Paul had to remind the church, "Hey, church, Timothy's young, but don't underestimate him." And us who are older, we're the Simeons. And we believe God will do what he promised and will never give up. And from the historical record of war in America, we had a captain saying, "Never give up. Never give up." And we find out later he had a unique and beautiful faith in Jesus Christ. And he encouraged those in the raft with him, and they survived. I hope this message this morning can encourage you. And when you read scripture, remember, we have the information, but it's way beyond information. If we just ask God, he'll take us to the deeper. It might be a routine story that we've done go through every year when we come to Christmas. But I hope this morning you could see yourself as a warrior, and God will give you the tools to be that warrior for the kingdom. The enemy comes in like a flood, but our God will hold up a standard against him. The battle's not yours. The battle is the Lord's. Let's worship now.